Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and we want to continue right on with the message, God's call to His church. He's calling you and I to rise up, to arise in the power of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And each of us have a very particular, unique, special place in God's body. And it's important that each one of us be obedient. And our own estimation and evaluation of what we're doing is not important. The fact is, if God has asked you to do something, what matters is your obedience, because much hinges on your willingness to walk forward, to walk willingly into God's plan for your life. And sometimes it could be the smallest thing, even in terms of making a phone call, and I'm not talking about, you know, a lifelong vision or something God is having you focus on for, you know, the next year or several months, although that may be the case, but sometimes it's just the small little impressions He places on our heart during our day, those little things that just sort of pop into your mind. And I think if you will follow through, you'll see that God had a purpose in it, even though you may not at the moment see it. So we've been talking about the opposition that Nehemiah experienced. There was the attack of the enemy from without. There was the ridicule, false accusations. That was the first attack. Then that it got more heated. There was anger, wrath, and contempt. And thirdly, there was conspiracy. We see that in the fourth chapter, and Nehemiah responded by prayer and setting up a guard. And of course, Jesus said, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He's wanting us to be vigilant. And so, you know, once the enemy learned that ridicule had failed, they became more angry. Then they planned war. And by chapter 6 and 7, the enemy is really desperate. One thing, beloved, we all need to learn is this: opposition with whatever God has asked you to do, whatever, wherever you may find yourself right now spiritually, it does not necessarily mean God's disapproval. Satan simply cannot afford to see the advancement of God's kingdom. And when we really start moving out for God in terms of our moving ahead spiritually, seeking God with all of our heart, asking Him to refine us, to create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us, whether it's that or some specific task that God has placed on your heart, He will oppose in vicious ways. And this next attack that He brings against Nehemiah is entirely different. It's an attack on his conviction. It's very different from the previous assaults. It's much more cunning and subtle. From open rebellion, it turned to crafty suggestions. And, you know, as an enemy in combat, these three men, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, had failed. Now they posed as friends. And the roaring lion tried to become an angel of light. He will do whatever is necessary for the occasion. They said, come. In verse 2, this is chapter 6, let us meet in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. And, you know, their scheme was to draw Nehemiah away from his work and the people. And of course, you know, isn't that just a sign of what? Being amenable, being logical. It appeals to the mind. We want to be reasonable. We want to be able to work out our differences. Isn't that true? It's very appealing. And so what we see, even in our own present society, the world and the devil is ever trying to entangle the Christian so that he cannot be in his place of duty. You know, as I look at Scripture, while it is imperative that every one of us be obedient to the call of God on our lives, whether that's in the medical field, in education, in the governmental political field, in science and research, whatever it may be, God has a plan for each of us. And it could be to raise a family. Is there anything really more important than that? But the world wants us, the nominal church world is ever bidding us to be social, to join this club, to participate in this activity. Let's pull together, let's join forces. But God says, come out from among them and be separate. And while it sounds good, and certainly being active for the Lord is very important, that's why we've got to have the Holy Spirit. That's why the gift of discernment is so important, to know what's of God and what isn't. It says it very clearly in the Gospel of John that Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. When he was sick, he didn't immediately run to the aid of Lazarus. He listened to his father. He delayed 2 days. He had a purpose. And he did not meet every single need that came to him. Many were healed. The crowds came. But at the Pool of Bethesda, there was just one man healed. So we have to understand that Jesus at all times and every point was being obedient to the Father. And today we find it's so easy to lack time for Bible study, for prayer. And beloved, there's no greater work in the world than the work of the Lord. We should always give it first place. And the thing that I see in Scripture, while it's important we respond to God in whatever calling he's given us, Jesus never addressed the social ills of his time. He said, Mary was rebuked for pouring the precious ointment, the alabaster, breaking the alabaster box. He says, the poor you're always going to have with you. And so we have to understand that Jesus, as well as I see in the Scriptures, the early church, they were dealing with the individual heart of man. You know, as we look to history, for example, you know, the whole temperance movement, and look at Prohibition. If you know anything much of history, that did not succeed very well. Are there evils to alcohol? Of course there are. But I mean, we can look to the revivals in Wales, for example, and when the individual heart was changed, then the taverns closed down. They practically disbanded the police force. There wasn't a need for it. So always, I think the emphasis, not that we shouldn't be obedient to what God speaks to our heart, but it has to take place on an individual level. That's why Jesus always said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And so, beloved, we have to understand that the devil will do any kind of good distraction to keep us from the very best. So what does Nehemiah do? Well, let me read 6, 3, and 4. He said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. They don't give up the first time. They didn't take no for an answer. 4 times they sent, 4 times Nehemiah refused. And so He was standing fast. He was a man of prayer. He waited before God before he ever spoke to the king. And so, there's someone listening right now that you're in a place of really wondering, have you heard from God? You're questioning. There's an element of confusion that's come in. You said, Lord, if this is you, why hasn't it happened? Why is there so much resistance? Well, beloved, consider the work that the enemy was doing against Nehemiah. Let's just pray right now. Father, you see this individual, and in the name of Jesus, I take authority over confusion. I take authority over intimidation, over self-doubt. And Father, right now, I rebuke the works of darkness that would bring questioning, that would bring uncertainty. And Father, I pray right now for protection, spiritual protection, emotional protection, and Lord, that you said, Lord, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give liberally to all men and upbraids not. So I release the wisdom of God, peace right now in your heart, in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Lord. All right, so we see the enemy continuing. Here in chapter 6, let me read verses 5 through 9. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in the manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it. So-and-so said it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to their words. And thou hast appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Know what he says in verse 8? Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest. Thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. So, beloved, no matter how the enemy, when he tries, he's quite clever, but we need to be single-minded, clear of vision as Nehemiah was, and very discerning to see what is of God and what is not of God. They had suggested disloyalty, rebellion, traitorship. They offered to safeguard him, but Nehemiah's answers was, there are no such things, you're lying. And of course, this has always been the scheme of the father of lies. And then their third move, we'll talk about that tomorrow, was to get Nehemiah to hide in the temple. We'll look at that. But beloved, I hope you're seeing and getting a picture that whenever you seek to do things for the Lord, to grow in his holiness and in understanding of his ways, there will be opposition. But there's victory in Jesus, so don't be discouraged. And if you need the support of agreeing prayer, beloved, there's a time and a place for that. They were united, and when there's union in prayer and agreement, there's great power. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me today. I pray for you every day, my UCM partners, my radio family. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.